The recording has started. You may proceed.
Great. Thanks, Angie. Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all, and welcome to the Subteam for Additional Marketplace RPMs call on the 18th of August, 2017. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call. We will be taking attendance via the Adobe Connect room. So if you're only on the audio bridge, would you please let yourself be known now? Now, we do have Kathy Klein and John Nevitt noted. Right. And also, as a reminder to all participants, please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. And please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I will hand the meeting back over to Greg Shatton.
Thank you, Greg Shatton, and sitting in for Paul McGrady today as chair. I am using Adobe Connect through an iPad brand tablet. So the one problem with that is that it does not put the queue in order. So I'll ask staff if there are multiple hands up to let me know who's first. Other than that, should be seamless, one hopes. So we have a brief agenda, roll call, which has already happened, updates to statements of interest. Unless anybody comes forward, I expect we have none. Nobody has gone anywhere new or done anything interesting in that regard. So that brings us to item two in the agenda, which is to review the updated and more targeted Sunrise data collection proposal. And that appears to be in the is that what we have up in the Adobe Connect?
Greg, this is Mary.
Yes.
What we have in the Adobe Connect is the updated document for additional marketplace protections.
Okay, that's the main document.
That's what you meant, yes. And this is the update that was sent around to the sub-team a few days ago, and you see the date there, which is 15th of August. And the only updates that were made by staff were based on this sub-team call last Friday. And so we've tried to capture them regarding questions 2, 3, and 4. And I believe that last week we ended the call after having discussed these potential changes with a note that for the first item of business under the agenda today, although I don't see him on the call, Claudio DiGangi had raised a question about question number 5 and whether it covered, I believe, an evaluation of the effectiveness of the mechanisms in light of the mandatory and voluntary ones that exist. So, like I said, I don't see Claudia on the call, but that is indeed where we stopped. And we have, of course, not yet discussed question 6. I hope that helps.
Thank you very much, Mary. Much appreciated. Following as a participant does not always prepare one to suddenly become a chair of a particular call. So we've had some opportunity to look at the changes to 2, 3, and 4, which have been pretty well taken care of. I don't know if there are any issues anyone wants to raise on those 3. If we don't have Claudio to discuss question 5, unless there are any other questions on 5, I see that the next thing on the list to discuss was question 6, which had been passed over in our first trip through the document because John Nevitt was not able to make that call, but we have John on this call. So I'll just ask if anybody has anything on 2, 3, 4, or 5 before we move to question 6. Yes?
Just a question.
I'm sorry, I'm not able to understand whoever's talking. It sounds like they may be in a very windy place.
Yeah, we're in the car. We're in the car, Greg. This is Kathy Kleiman. Do you hear me?
Yes, marginally.
Okay. It was just a request that you read question six before we start talking about it.
Oh, absolutely. No, absolutely. I will do that.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, and your sound did improve there toward the end, so whatever you did, you know, close the window, put up the top, it worked.
Great.
I won't ask who's driving in terms of the driving lesson issues.
You know who's driving, Greg, and it's not me.
Okay, well, don't want to distract anyone too much. So I see no hands or indications that we need to go anywhere before question six. So as requested, I will read question six. Question six currently it begins with proposal to delete. What approval process, if any, from ICANN is required to offer these services? RCEP, other, or none? Then there's a bullet point after that. Initial review of RCEP requests indicates that some services, and the words protected mark list has been inserted before services, were submitted for and received RCEP approvals, while others did not request approval. What explains this difference? Then an informational note. Section 2.1 of the standard new GTLD registry agreement permits a registry operator to offer registry service that is an approved service but requires it to request approval under the Registry Services Evaluation Policy, RCEP, if it wishes to offer any service that is not an approved service or is a material modification of an approved service. It is important for the working group to understand whether registry offered RPMs, especially those based upon TMCH mark registrations, have been subject to any such approval review, and if so, what criteria are utilized in their evaluation. So there's also a couple of notes in the margin. Note from the 4th August call, sub-team members on the call agree this is an overarching question for this topic. As such, this question can be marked as such or reordered in the final version of this document. Also, sub-team members on the call agree to defer discussion of this question to the next call, which is now this call. So hopefully that gives everyone, including those on the audio, a chance to hear what the question says and what various things have been said around the question on the text. At this point, I will open the queue. Thankfully, only one person on the queue, so I know who is first. Phil Corwin, I see your hand. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Greg, and Phil Corwin for the record. I'll speak to this since I had a considerable role in drafting this particular question. And I'm not sure why it should be controversial or deleted. I think it's just a factual question. Out of my own curiosity, several months ago, co-chairs were discussing looking at private RPMs. I was just curious to see if DPML had gone through an RCEP process, and when I searched the RCEP database, I noted that some of the DPMLs had gone through and some hadn't, and I just think it'd be useful with a working group to know whether or not these private services require or if not require some registry operators that it was useful to run them through the RCEP process, and what, if any, criteria I can use to analyze those requests. And that's the beginning and the end of it. It's just a factual inquiry as to whether DPML services are a registry service that requires some review by ICANN. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Phil. Are there any other comments? I will turn in particular to John Nevitt if I see no hands, since this was indicated as being kind of held for the presence of John. who I understand is present but on audio only.
Hey, Greg, could you hear me?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, great. Yeah, I don't think it was just for me, but Phil's curiosity notwithstanding, I think this maybe we're this conversation is premature because until we know whether we're reviewing these additional RPMs or just gathering information as they relate to the others, it seems to me I'm not sure the relevance of whether it went through an RCEP, whether it was in the application itself. What, you know, all of our DPMLs are in our agreement. So to me, what ICANN level of review, why do we care what ICANN's review is if we're not reviewing them or we're just gathering information? So, again, this is an issue that probably relates directly to what our ultimate goal is for this group and whether we're reviewing these additional RPMs, which most of us, I think, do not think we should be doing, or are we just gathering information about the RPMs as they relate to the others? So the approval of these, the approval process of these would be irrelevant if we're just doing the latter. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, John. I may have a question for you later, but I have a hand up from David McCauley, so I'll turn to David. Please go ahead.
Greg, thanks. David McCauley here for the record. I think I'm somewhere between Phil and John. I agree with what John said about the verb review is somewhat charged with respect to these DPMLs, and I can understand his point. And I do think that there is a role, however, for information gathering. My sense of it is that when information is gathered about various DPMLs that people may think of in the future or that exist now, there may be some that are identified that could have an impact on DNS that a review by this group or by ICANN would be appropriate. I don't know what that would be, but it just strikes me that maybe there's a question that if this is deleted could sort of replace it in more accurately capture that notion that not all DPMLs are subject to review. So I largely agree with John, but I can see Phil's point, and maybe there's a place for a question here along those lines. Thank you.
Thank you, David. And I think that kind of raises a question, and maybe I'll ask John whether there is another way that this could be phrased so that it is relevant to a pure fact-gathering exercise. So assuming that we were not going to engage in any kind of active review as we are of the mandated ICANN created RPM, is there still a way that this could be phrased that perhaps allays some of your concerns?
No, indeed not. You know, and David, with all due respect, the charter of this group is to look at the existing RPMs and whether they should be changed, right? So we decided as a group with my – I agree that, you know, we could gather information about additional RPMs and see how those relate to Sunrise, Sunrise and claims – and URS and UDRP. Whether any of us have concerns about the approval process of additional RPMs, that's outside of the charter for this group, in my opinion. And so the approval of additional RPMs is something that, you know, I don't care how we phrase the question, it's irrelevant information. Yeah, I'm sure everyone's curious, and we could set up a new working group if we want. You know, start a PDP on additional RPMs if you want to try to go down that road. But, you know, for the purposes of this, unless we're trying to delay this process, reviewing these additional RPMs is just a waste of time in a rabbit hole. And our role is not to satisfy people's curiosity. Thanks.
Thank you, John. Just let me read the chat for those on audio, and then I see I have Phil followed by Kathy. J. Scott Evans responds, I disagree. I think we should know whether there is or is not an approval process. That is just information. Kathy Kleiman is now online, hopefully not driving if you are on Adobe. Plus one, David, Phil, J. Scott. So I'll take the hands that I have. Phil Corwin, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, and I'll be brief in my response. And I understand and respect John's position. I think David made a useful comment in terms of possibly reformatting this question so it's strictly focused on data gathering. And again, the question wasn't raised with the intent to require RCEP review for any particular private protection or to change the terms of RCEP review. It was simply raised to gather a point of information, which would seem to be a basic point as to whether or not any or all of private DPML offerings required, or at least the registry operator said it was advisable to get RCEP review. It's just background information. So that's it. I don't have anything further to say on this.
Thank you, Phil. Just can you clarify, Phil, are you speaking in your role as co-chair or in your individual capacity?
Oh, I'm speaking now, and to be clear, I'm speaking in a personal position. The co-chairs, I don't think it'd be appropriate for co-chairs in our co-chair position to take a position for or against a particular question or how it should be framed. In my personal position, I think it's just trying to get a data point, and if there's a way to narrow the question so it's strictly focused on raising the question whether or not ICANN review was required for any or all of these DPMLs. That's just what I'm trying to get at to understand the process.
Could I ask Bill a question there, Craig?
Sure, John.
Clarification, yeah. So, I understand, and Jay Scott put it in the chat, it sounds like obviously it's information gathering, but to what end? What's the relevance of the information, and what could this group use it towards? Again, we still have that question of, are we reviewing these RPMs, or are we just reviewing the other ones and just using that information? But what relevance, assuming the latter, what relevance of whether every registry went through an either an RCEP or it's in every one of our contracts? You know, if we want to look at 198 contracts, you'll find it at DPML in every one of ours. But what's the relevance? That's the clarification I'm asking.
I think the relevance is just to give the working group a better understanding of what process related to, the registry operator's relationship with ICANN was followed in offering the DPML. And it may be fine, you're saying some of it was in the application, and that's a point of understanding. That may explain why RCEP request wasn't made in those cases. I think it's just to provide understanding to the working group of what process registry operators followed or would follow in offering DPML, or other types of private services. And I'm just not sure what the sensitivity is on understanding that aspect of the registry operator relationship to ICANN.
Thanks, Phil. I guess I've got Kathy. I'm going to read a couple of items in chat for John's benefit. But first, I wonder whether one of the particular items of friction in the current phrasing of the question may be the word required. And for a pure fact-gathering exercise, maybe the fact of whether or not the RCEP process was followed by one registry and not by another is the question at a fact-gathering level we may want to go to, and not whether it was required, because that's, in a sense, goes to an issue of contractual interpretation and beyond just the issue of kind of just the facts, dragnet style. I see in the chat, Kathy Kleiman survived the driving lesson. Jay Scott says, we could make a recommendation that an approval process should be put in place. I'll note that that seems to me something that goes beyond the fact-gathering or information-gathering role. Obviously, we have not fully decided what the role we have, but that would seem to me to be part of the larger suggested role of the group rather than the smaller suggested role of the group. Rebecca Tushnet responds, plus one, J. Scott, given the interaction with the required RPMs. So I will now turn to Kathy Kleiman. Kathy, please go ahead.
Oh, can you hear me good?
Yes, please go ahead.
So I think it's really the last sentence that encapsulates the answer to John's question, which is what's the relevance here. And the last sentence, and I'll read it, it's important for the working group to understand whether the registry offered RPMs, especially those based upon the Trademark Clearinghouse mark registrations, have been subject to any such approval review, and if so, what criteria were utilized in their evaluation. So there's the link. It's that the Trademark Clearinghouse is an ICANN-created process pursuant to the consensus policy recommendations that we made, you know, so many years ago. And so it seems a very legitimate query to kind of find out how these mechanisms that we created and that we're now reviewing are being used. And this is just part of that query. Thank you.
So, Kathy, could I ask you a question?
John, go ahead.
Yeah, so then I would take it that you would only care about those additional RPMs that use the Trademark Clearinghouse information. Is that fair?
I would think that's largely the focus. Both the Trademark Clearinghouse mechanisms that can defile anything related to that process. I mean, that's what we're looking at here, right? Those types of RPMs and the Trademark Clearinghouse.
So only RPM.
And it's certainly in my personal capacity.
Sure, but yeah, that's a helpful clarification that we're only looking at additional RPMs that utilize the Trademark Clearinghouse.
And the SMD, anything created, anything involving either the two providers, the SMD file, you know, anything created through that process. Right.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you both. Kathy, is that an old hand? Okay, that Kathy is now completed. So I see just a couple more, one more item in the chat from Mary Wong. In this context, DPML and other services using the TMCH services, is J. Scott's last comment also related to question 8, which also has been proposed for deletion. Question 8 is, given the decision that ICANN should not provide a globally protected marks list as a mandatory RPM, should the offering of protected marks list services, e.g. blocking services, be viewed as inconsistent with that decision or as an expected and beneficial marketplace supplement? What options for the working group might exist and how might they be pursued? So the question for the group is this, I guess you could ask J. Scott in particular, is it, how did this comment relate to question 8, if at all? Or if anybody else has any thoughts on that particular point. Mary, your hand is up. Please go ahead.
Yes, and just to say that I didn't mean to throw everybody off course since we were on question 6 and we still have question 7, but noting that J. Scott had made the comment earlier, and I had thought that that was in response to the question, if we were to gather the information on RCEP or approval processes, what would be the relevance of that information, and J. Scott had said that we, meaning the working group, could make a recommendation that an approval process should be put in place. And so extrapolating from that, I think I was just trying to put in a placeholder for the group that when we get to question 8, whether that is a similar consideration as well. Sorry for confusing anyone, Greg.
No problem. I think it there is definitely a relationship in my mind, but not sure what the, you know, how to answer the question. Plus, it's not my role to answer. In the chat, Phil Corwin says, I have to think about it, but, and this is a personal view, I'm not sure that the WG has any authority beyond noting the existence to look into private protections that don't use the mandatory RPMs. Jay Scott says, I am sorry, I'm not sure I understand the question. Then after Mary's clarification says, thanks, Mary. I'll look and see if I have any hands. I have a hand from Brian Symbolic. Brian, please go ahead.
Thanks, Greg. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Great. So Brian Symbolic for the record. So just to jump to what Mary and Jay Scott together were touching on in Jay Scott's comment to question six, some sort of formal recommendation that an approval process be in place. I think that, and this hits on what you were mentioning earlier, Greg, I think that falls well outside the scope and purview of this. We are information gathering. We are not here to pass judgment on whether or not any individual or marketplace RPM is within or out of compliance. That is appropriately a matter for ICANN compliance. We're here to gather information. We're not here to pass judgment and say, these services went through the appropriate process. These services did not. That's a matter between ICANN and the contracted party involved, the registry. Thanks.
Thanks, Brian. I'll play devil's advocate a little bit and ask whether you think there should be an approval process for the use of TMCH information, including SMD files, if they're used in marketplace recommendations, and if so, does that also implicate a review of the RPM itself? That's the private marketplace RPM that's going to use the TMCH data.
Thanks, Greg. I think that too comes down to a question of whether or not what the existing contract says and whether or not that use falls outside the scope of a already implemented registry service. So admittedly, we don't offer anything like this, so I haven't put much thought into it. But I, you know, there are RPMs that would fall outside of the RDEP process, in my opinion. Now, whether or not TMCH-centric RPMs necessarily might fall within the RCEP category, I'm not sure. But I don't think there is, quote, an approval process. I think that there could be marketplace RPMs that are implemented that fall completely within the scope of already implemented registry services and therefore would not require further RCEP or further approval from ICANN.
Thank you, Brian. I think that's helpful in trying to pick apart the issues here. So you see, Jay Scott in the chat has the following. There is judgment in making a statement that all additional RPMs that registries – sorry. There is no judgment in making a statement that all additional RPMs that registries want to put in place need to go through some sort of formal approval process. Jay Scott responds, and I'll add that he's stepping away for 2 minutes. Mary Wong adds a staff clarification just in case. We're not opining on the working group charter scope or the advisability of these questions. Was just noting a possible relationship between question six and question eight for the subteam's consideration. So at the moment we have no hands. David McCauley responds, thanks, Mary, and I agree with John that we need to keep charter in view. And I think Brian also would fall into the category of highlighting the charter and remit. David also says, but information gathering seems okay as we stated before. So there's a David seems to suggest a middle path that perhaps could be accomplish through revising the question so that we're not necessarily getting into judgments about what should have happened or why things happened, but merely what in fact happened. And perhaps there's a middle path there. And trying to avoid, if we are in fact a fact-gathering group, trying to avoid the implication that we have need for information that would go to making recommendations on actually reviewing the marketplace RPMs. So there's probably at least three positions on this question: that take it out entirely, keep it largely the way it is, and to revise it in some fashion, and including perhaps that the fashion that, you know, limits it to a fact gathering of a purely kind of surface nature and not getting into what should have happened or what was required or what judgments were made and the like. So I don't want to keep talking because things are bad when the chair talks too much. But let's see if there are any other comments from folks on this or anybody who hasn't spoken up yet who has a thought about which perhaps of those three paths they might support, or if they've supported one of the paths, if they could support another, perhaps the middle path. And if anybody has any suggestions on language that might change what might be seen as a wide-reaching question. I'm trying to avoid using the word overreaching, which is a value judgment. I don't see any hands. I do see a plus one from Kathy. Probably to the good summary, Greg, comment from David. So perhaps we've reached the end of the discussion of this particular moment for the moment, but I think that it would be fruitful to explore some alternate language that might gain broader support than either deletion or keeping it as is would. And perhaps we can do that on the list between now and the next call, if that's if people are amenable to that. I'll take the silence as a lack of opposition. So let's kind of put that on as an action item, is to think about rephrasing question six, including the bullet point section of that. So we're at 12:37, and in honor of it being 12:37, we can move to question seven, which I will read out as soon as I can make it large enough on the tablet. Shorter question. How much and what manner of use does each registry operator make of proprietary data, whether derived from the TMCH or the trademark holder? And in addition, in providing its protected marks list service, e.g. a blocking service. And then there's a comment attached to this. The trademark holder is the party who seeks the DPML, so what is the relevance of asking whether their proprietary data is used for the purpose? Could whoever drafted this question please clarify what relevance it has to our work? That comment from SP8. Not sure who that is. So do we have any comments on this, on the suggested addition of language that's in red, or the marginal question in the in the margin, about the relevance of asking for use of trademark proprietary data. SP is Susan Payne, I believe. Susan, unfortunately, is not with us on this call. Any comments on this question of any sort? Is there anybody who believes that this question needs to be changed or explained, revised in any way? And I don't know if we need to approve the added language or not. I wonder with regard to the added language whether the RPMs we're dealing with are only protected marks list type RPMs, or if there are other additional marketplace RPMs, which somehow would either should be included in the question or not.
Hey, Greg, could you say what the added language is again?
Sorry. The added the original question said, how much and what manner of use does each registry operator make of proprietary data, whether derived from the TMCH or the trademark holder? Added language, in providing its protected marks list service, e.g. a blocking service.
Yeah, this is John. I don't think the additional language is necessary. Why limit it? And also, I would delete the part where we're talking about the proprietary information from the trademark holder. If we're looking at only RPMs that deal with Trademark Clearinghouse, then it should just stop at Trademark Clearinghouse and not the proprietary information of each and every trademark holder. Thank you.
Thank you, John. And if staff could note those as comments to this question, that would be helpful. I see a note in the chat from Rebecca Tushnet. One question that may be part of this is whether there is a more public aspect. Rebecca, would you like to expand on that if you have audio?
Rebecca Tushnet, sorry, I'm in a bad place to talk. I don't know how good my connection is, so please speak up if
you sound good.
You can't hear me. Okay. So I guess one of the only thing that I really wonder about is, you know, to what extent can you get public lists of protected marks and so on, which may be relevant to things like the ability to access the database to the extent that people are using their TMCH designation to then get access to these other things. But I don't know if that's included in this question or is already covered elsewhere. Thanks.
Thank you, Rebecca. I do have a couple of other hands, David McCauley and Mary Wong. Not sure whose hand came up first.
Greg, David's hand was up first.
Okay, David, please go ahead.
Thank you, Greg, David McCauley. For the record, just a quick statement. I put my hand up to say I think I agree with Susan's Payne comment about the trademark holder. Also, John made the same comment, basically. I'm not sure why that's in this question. So I would just go along with those comments. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Mary, please go ahead.
Thanks, Greg. This is Mary from staff. And it was just to provide a brief explanation of the additional language in red in this document. And for John and others' benefit in audio, this is the language that talks about providing the protected marks list service such as a blocking service. This was actually not so much added, but that in the original question, it actually just said in providing the DPML services. So this was actually a change that was made following a suggestion from an earlier call where every time in the questions there was an original reference to DPML or the like, that we should do a global change and replace that reference with this one, which is protected marks list service, e.g. a blocking service. So hopefully that's helpful. I note also that John had also suggested perhaps not including this language, but I thought the explanation might provide some background. Thanks, Greg.
Thank you, Mary. That's helpful. I wonder if we want to make it more generic and just say in providing its additional marketplace RPMs and not refer specifically to protected marks list. That's just a suggestion to throw out to the group. And that avoids kind of honing in and perhaps leaving out certain types of RPMs. So if that could just be noted as a potential suggestion, if anybody wants to second that or object to it, happy to hear it. Mary, is that a new hand or continuing hand?
Just to note, Greg, that there's a couple of questions in the chat, and Kathy had asked whether we should try to define proprietary data, and I think she had also followed up on your suggestion subsequently about phrasing the change, which I think you had said just make the reference to additional marketplace RPMs. To her question about defining proprietary data, David McCauley did note that it's probably a good idea, so just noting for your benefit, Greg, in case you missed it.
Thank you. Appreciate that, Mary. I did. We'll see if anybody has any comments on whether we should define proprietary data, noting that there's been suggestions about deleting the reference to proprietary data of the trademark holder, but not with regard to that derived from the TMCH. I guess the question is, if we do eliminate the reference to the trademark holder, I think we certainly would need to clarify, either use a different term or clarify what we mean by proprietary data derived from the TMCH. Either way, we need to do it. So if anybody has any suggestions on what they believe was intended by the term proprietary data, that would be helpful. Not seeing any hands on this, but I think it would be helpful. Either way, we identify this to either try to define the term proprietary data or use a different term, especially if we're just referring to TMCH-derived data. Rebecca Tushnet suggests the possible definition data that are kept confidential as between the trademark owner and the provider. That is, one possible definition. I guess another definition would just be, maybe this is recursive data that is proprietary to the trademark owner. But especially if it's coming from the TMCH, we kind of have a limited universe of what that data would be. It's the SMD file or perhaps some other pieces of information as well. Maybe one thing that we need to clarify is what data comes from the TMCH and is used by the or another way to phrase this, because this is asking how much and in what manner of use does each registry operator make use of proprietary data, whether derived from the TMCH. Maybe what we really just need to ask is what the use the registry operator makes of data coming from the TMCH in offering an additional marketplace RPM, and kind of avoid the proprietary data definitional question entirely, since it might be useful to know what non-proprietary data, if there is such a thing depending on our definition, is used as well. So in this case, maybe broaden the question and just ask how much and what manner of use does each registry operator make of data from the TMCH, and then at least in brackets until we decide whether it's in there or from the trademark holder. Just a suggestion. Kathy Kleiman says agreed. I personally think that's an improvement, so maybe we can mark this in the next draft as a suggested change. Any other comments on question 7? That might help straighten that question out just a little bit, noting that I think we'll need to come to a decision on the whether the trademark holder data is included or not. So it's 12:49. I don't know whether within this group here we can, I don't think we can really come to that decision. There are, you know, people who are not participating today who should be allowed the opportunity to weigh in. So I think maybe what we should do is bracket the or the trademark holder and put a comment on the side. You know, this has been, you know, suggested for deletion based on the idea that we're pursuing uses of TMCH data only. I'm not expressing an opinion on whether that's right or wrong. Just that seems to be the basis for the suggestion.
Greg, this is Kathy. I'm in the queue.
Please go ahead, Kathy.
Great, thanks. In terms of the deletion of or the trademark holder, I thought about why it might be there, actually, and why we might not want to delete it. It has to do with the word derives, and so many of us are lawyers, and we keep having to define these terms. I'm going to go back to the full question. How much and what manner of use does each registry operator make of data, I'll skip proprietary based on your suggestion, data, whether derived from the TMCH or the trademark holder? I think the purpose of that phrase here is, and a lot of it, if we define derived, we might get this, but what's the source of the data? And in some cases, it appears to be the TMCH, and in some cases, it appears to be the trademark holder passing data that comes from the TMCH. So the source of the data may indeed be the trademark holder, not the TMCH directly, and so it comes down to what derived means. Thanks.
Right. Thanks. And maybe in terms of the word derived, maybe the word received might be more straightforward than derived, because derived is a word that can get unpacked to involve processing, if you will.
But that's just it, Greg. Received. I'm not sure the data is being received from the TMCH directly. I think it's derived from the TMCH, but received from the trademark holder.
Well, maybe we need to think about the verb or unpacking that a little bit more so that we understand both the origin of the data and the method by which it gets to the provider. That, in essence, there's kind of two questions there, which is where did the data come from and how did the provider get it? But I think that the derived, there's no actual derivation there in the, you know, concept of derivative works or deriving something from something else. So I think that's the word derived may create maybe more trouble than it's worth. But I think it would be helpful to rephrase the question so that we get at both the origin of the data and how the provider of the marketplace RPM got it. Does that make sense to people? Kathy Kleiman says precisely, so it appears that I have made sense for at least a minute. This is a new record. And David McCauley also says yes, so perhaps we can work on rephrasing this question so it gets at those two questions, kind of the you know, where did the data come from, and how did who provided it to the provider of the marketplace RPM? In the interest of time, we'll not try to engage in the wordsmithing there. Although I think the concepts and the words to stay away from have been to get toward clarity have been discussed. Any other comments on this question 7? Or if anybody wants to attempt wordsmithing on the fly in the 7 minutes we have left. I'll ask if staff has any questions, as I'm depending on them to make note of this, in the documents, which is a very demanding thing, I know, but I have faith. And of course, Mary Wong returns that faith with, "We're taking notes." So, Steve Bannon out as White House chief strategist, just reported. Breaking news. Jay Scott says he's going to have to leave early. Kathy Kleinman says, "Thanks for chairing, Greg." I'll have to leave to take on my new job as the chief strategist in the White House, so I may leave a bit early as well. That is just a joke. I am not in consideration for that, nor would I ever be. We have about 6 minutes left. Should we take a few minutes to take a look at question 8? Let me read that out and see, at least get that kind of teed up, if not for now, for next week. Question 8, which is also marked proposal to delete. Given the decision that ICANN should not provide a globally protected marks list as a mandatory RPM, should the offering of, and this is added, protected marks list services, e.g. blocking services, be viewed as inconsistent with that decision or as an expected and beneficial marketplace supplement? What options for the working group might exist, and how might they be pursued? And there are no real marginal notes attached to this, other than that private DPML was deleted and protected marks list services, e.g. blocking services, was put in its place. And since this question is limited to globally protected marks lists, perhaps in this case, protected marks list services rather than all RPM services would be proper subject for the question. I think the bigger question is whether this question is a proper subject for this subgroup and ultimately for the working group.
Hey, Greg, it's John. Can I get in the queue?
Yes, John, you are the queue. Please go ahead.
Great. I don't know if Kathy left or not, but I think in a prior call she kind of walked away from this question as well. And but let's confirm with her to see if anyone really is still pushing to have this question in there or not.
Thank you, John. Kathy's still here, and Kathy, your hand is up, so I will turn to you. Please go ahead.
Thanks. We've only got 4 minutes, so I think. I don't remember why or what I said about it, but I think it's an important question to ask. I see a possibility for some significant rephrasing, but it is the question everyone's asking. So and we're hearing it in the working group, and as a sub-team, I think we should be helping people ask it too. It's a key question. It's the 800-pound gorilla in the room. Thanks.
Kathy, is that your personal or co-chair view?
Turning off the teapot in the background. All of this, Greg, we participate as in our personal capacities in the sub-teams. That's why you're chairing.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Happy to clarify that. So I won't ask each time. So we'll note that. Any other comments on I see a hand from Phil Corwin in his personal capacity, as noted by Kathy Kleinman.
Yes, in a very personal capacity. And good luck on getting that Bannon slot, Greg.
I'll be right behind you on that one.
Yeah, no, I won't be in front of you. you. On this one, again, personal opinion, I'm going to differ a bit with my co-chair. And again, the co-chairs haven't yet discussed a consensus view from us on what this sub-team is, so it's clearly primarily data gathering. It seems to me there's no request for data in this question. I don't know what data could be gathered in this question. It's really a policy question, and it probably doesn't belong in anything that this sub-team should be looking at. And that decision to remove it here doesn't prevent any member of the full working group from raising that issue when the data comes back from this sub-team. But it's not. There's no search for data in this question. It probably doesn't belong within the purview of this sub-team, which is focused on informing the full working group about what's being offered in the private sector and what information, if any, is available upon the use of the mandatory RPMs in offering those services or in impacting the use of the RPMs because these services are available. So in my personal role, I have no objection to this question being deleted from something this sub-team should be looking at. Thank you.
Thank you. And in my neutral co-chair role, I'll ask whether there is any version of this question that could be a data gathering question or data that could be asked for now that might answer this question if it's asked at a later point in our work, if that question is within our purview. So think about whether there is a data gathering question buried in here somewhere. So I'll pose that for next time. We have just a couple of minutes left, so we should end with a symbolic thought, and I'll turn to Brian Symbolic.
Thanks, Greg. Phil hit the nail on the head for me. I think that in theory, could there be an iteration of this question that is more data gathering? Maybe. I don't know what that looks like because it seems that the entire essence of the question is passing judgment on these DPML services. And again, I think that that's pretty well outside of what we're doing in this group. So my inkling is certainly for Leeson, if there's reasonable and reasoned changes circulated on the list, I'm happy to look at them. But as it stands, this question is more of an argument than a genuine search for information.
Thank you, Brian. Well noted. Phil, is that a new hand? Phil's hand is down, and the big hand is on the 12, and the little hand is on the 1, so brings us, for me at least, to the end of our call. I think we should duly note these points made about question number 8 and would suggest to the real chair of this group that the next call start with picking up on question 8 and suggest to all that it would be fruitful to have some discussion of that on the list. So with that, I think we will call this meeting adjourned.